President Clinton leaves tomorrow on an 8-day trip to Europe and Russia. He stops first in Portugal, where he'll meet with the heads of state from the 15 countries in the European Union. Next, he flies to Germany for meetings with Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder, and then it's on to Moscow. Mr. Clinton has just 8 months remaining in office, and White House officials say this trip is unlikely to produce any breakthrough agreements. More now from NPR's Tom Gelton.
With the president nearing the end of his term, his aides are anxious to define a legacy that he will leave in foreign as well as domestic policy. So National Security Advisor Sandy Berger last week previewed Mr. Clinton's trip to Europe by laying out what the president has already done there.
This trip, at least in part, is an opportunity to take stock of the progress that has been made and to build on the vision that the president articulated in Brussels back in January 1994, a peaceful, undivided, democratic Europe for the first time in history.
President Clinton has good personal relations with several European leaders, but whether they'll give him the credit for achievements in Europe is another question. The Europeans may not be in a mood this week to celebrate good relations with the United States. The Portugal meeting comes at a time when recent votes in the U.S. Congress suggest members there are likely to be defensive on trade issues, cool to arms control agreements, and reluctant to support U.S. commitments abroad. Richard Haass is director of foreign policy studies at the Brookings Institute.
All of this sends a message that there really is no consensus within the United States, that Congress and various special interest groups are extremely powerful, and it leaves the Europeans uneasy with the reality that the world's most powerful country is also to some extent unpredictable and prone to being heavily influenced by American domestic politics.
What expectations the Clinton administration has had for this 8-day trip have been centered primarily on the Moscow visit that begins next weekend. It will be the first president-to-president meeting between Mr. Clinton and the newly elected Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Mr. Clinton's meetings with former Russian President Boris Yeltsin produced new reform commitments from the Russian side in exchange for more aid from the U.S. side. But this meeting will be different, says Michael McFaul of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
This is going to be the kind of endpoint to Clinton's foreign policy vis-a-vis the Russians. And I think, therefore, they're going to try to put things in context. They are going to talk about what the last 7 years have meant. And it will be less focused on actual tangibles that he can bring back.
Bill Clinton is essentially a lame duck president. Vladimir Putin is still finding his way. And Richard Haass argues that next weekend's meeting should be seen as a conversation between the two leaders and no more.
I'm uncomfortable with the term summit, which suggests that the United States and Russia somehow collectively stand astride the world, when the fact is that Russia is irrelevant to much of what goes on in this globalized world. So the image of somehow these two leaders getting together to decide the fate of the world is really something of an anachronism.
One important U.S. aim next weekend will be to strengthen Russian democracy. Mr. Clinton will give an interview to an independent radio station in an effort to show U.S. support for a free Russian press. He's also expected to trumpet the importance of democratic values in a speech to the Russian parliament. Michael McFaul says this agenda reflects a U.S. view that economic and foreign policy under Putin are generally headed in the right direction.
But I think when it comes to democracy, there's great uncertainty because Mr. Putin, in my opinion, is kind of indifferent to democracy. And so President Clinton wants to go to have a kind of frank discussion about this being a precondition of being a normal European country.
This emphasis on promoting democracy in Moscow has partially replaced the administration's original goal, which was to produce a grand bargain arms control agreement there. White House officials now say nothing can be worked out at this meeting, given Russian nervousness about U.S. ideas of a new national missile defense. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright this past Friday pointed out that Mr. Clinton and Mr. Putin will meet 3 more times, suggesting there's still a chance an agreement can be worked out later this year. But Michael McFaul says that's unlikely.
My reading of the Russian side is that they are not in a big hurry. And that's the difference between these two presidents. One is in the last months of his tenure in power. He's trying to secure as many things before he leaves. And the other one is just beginning and plans to be around for a long time. And so their clocks tick at a different pace right now.
President Clinton winds up his trip a week from Tuesday in Ukraine, a country whose independence and democratic progress are seen by this administration as essential to future European stability. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.